Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal doctrine containing the precise science to free the soul from suffering. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Many of these lectures are supported by additional information on our website. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an anonymous chat session, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. All of the efforts of Telema Press are supported by listeners like you. For more information or to make a donation, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we will begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Good morning. Today we are entering into the Word of God, the fifth church, the Church of Sardis, related with Chakra Vishuddha. Marvelous knowledge hidden with this church or chakra, which we are going to disclose the best that we can in order for all of you to enjoy the Word of God. Because really, if you visualize the Tree of Life, you discover that the imaginary man, which is placed behind the Tree of Life, has the Sephirah Da'at precisely on the throat. And remember that Da'at in Greek is gnosis, knowledge. And when we discover the origin of the word, we discover that in Greek, the word for word is logos. And in Gnosticism, we refer to the Holy Trinity, the Holy Triamatsikamno, which is the law of three, the law that creates, in relation with Keter, Chochmah, and Binah, or Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. We call them the first logos, the second logos, and the third logos. So here we have the three logos, which create with the power of the word. That's why they are called logos. Many Kabbalists place the upper Eden in Da'at, Remember that the word Eden means voluptuousness. And this voluptuousness is always related with a creative energy that acts as a creator in that, but not as when we create in Yesod. That's why when we talk about that, we associate this Sephirah with Yesod. But really, Yesod is a lower Eden, and that is the upper Eden. In the upper Eden is where God creates with the power of the Word. That Word is that we call Fohat, fire. This Fohat is pure spiritual fire, which unfolds into many elements. Among the elements known to physical science, fire is the one that has always eluded laboratory analysis. Physical science states that air is mainly a mixture containing the gases oxygen and nitrogen, with lesser amounts of argon, carbon dioxide, hydrogen, neon, helium, and other gases, but mainly oxygen and nitrogen, which are related, as you know, with our lungs, the oxygen, and with the plants, the nitrogen, in order to live. Water is chemically a compound of oxygen and hydrogen. But what is fire? It is the effect of combustion. They always seriously answer. It is heat and light and motion, and a correlation of physical and chemical forces in general. But Gnostic esotericism states that the logos, the word, is fire, is fohat. It is the most perfect and unadulterated reflection in heaven as on earth of fohat, the one flame. It is Inri. Superlative reasoning, in its strict analogy, states that the logos, the word, is the sound of fohat, the fire. The only element, the one element within which the development of its flames or attributes through the evolution and involution of innumerable monads or monadic essences in the seven cosmos or cosmoses take place. This fire or fohat characteristics are collectively reflected in each one of the seven spirits before the throne of God, which the book of Revelation talks about, which we call the seven logoi. And also, this fire reflects in each of the seven tattvas, every one of which contains in itself, in the same progressive order, a portion of the various fires and elements. So here you see that when we talk about the seven spirits, or logoi, in other words, the seven words, or as we say it in Gnosticism, the seven veors, because veor means lights, and lights or related with the word, Because the word itself is light, is fire, is vibration. So then we have the seven tattvas. The seven tattvas are prithvi, apas, tejas, vayu, akasa, adi, and samadhi. These are the seven vibrations, we say, of the word. Because tattva means vibration. But these vibrations, of course, emerged from that blue substance, which is the primordial matter, which is the divine mother, the pure essence of the divine mother that we call Akasa. But we place Akasa, tattva, as the fifth element, and we said it is related with ether. And it's because this Akasa modifies in different elements. The seven tattvas in itself are really the garb, the vesture of the fire. So the Fohat acts through the seven tattvas, or the seven vibrations, in order to materialize or crystallize in different dimensions, into different matters. Remember that we have seven cosmoses. Our three-dimensional world is just one of them. But why this three-dimensional world, we said, comes from the ether? And it's a crystallization of Akasa. Because this three-dimensional world is called Earth. Did you ever ask why is this planet called Earth? Because everybody called the planet Earth. Esoterically speaking, we know that the planet Earth is called planet Earth because we are in the fourth round, or the fourth cosmic round, meaning that before this cosmic round, there were three previous rounds or manifestations of the logos, of the word, through the upper tattvas. The first manifestation, which was in the mental plane, was the vayu tattva. So the fire were vibrating within the vayu tattva, and from the vayu tattva came into the tejas tattva, which is the fire. But not the fire as the pure element, but an unfoldment of that fire. Because the fire always exists in all dimensions. But the pure element, the one element that we call Fohat, is that which is the ray of Okidanok, the ends of Or, the first emanation of the unknowable divine. So the third manifestation of that fire was in the vibration of Apas, the Tattva Apas, which was the third cosmic round. And finally, the fourth round appeared, which is this, in which we are right now, which is the crystallization of the Tattva Prithvi, which is the Tattva of the Earth. That's why in Kabbalah, we state that the whole life that emerged in this planet Earth was coming from the three primary letters, which symbolize the three primary elements. Shin, fire. Mem, water. And Aleph, air. Did you ever ask why isn't that the element Earth is not appearing there? Because Earth is the whole planet, which is the crystallization of those three elements. Meaning, as the Master Samael explains, we attain the three consequences or karma or the three previous manifestations. So there, the whole Maha Mambantara, this word is Great Cosmic Day, is an unfoldment of seven Mambantaras, or seven cosmic days, or we will say in synthesis, of the crystallization in different levels of the seven tattvas, or vibrations of the word. Meaning that the future cosmic day, according to the sequence of these tattvas, will be the ethereal world, which will exist in the fourth dimension. And then the next one will be the Adi Tattva, and the other will be the Samadhi Tattva, which are two tattvas which are very high and that escapes our intellectual understanding. Because scarcely in this day and age, the ether is talked about, is being talked about. Ether, we said, is the fifth element, which is the Akasa. And at this time, of course, in this round, the ether will be more visible in the physical world, little by little, as a fifth element. But this ether will be really an activity in the future cosmic day. Because remember that we are in the fifth Aryan root race. We are expecting the great cataclysm that will destroy this Aryan race. But another sixth root race is coming, and another seventh, in order to finish with this Prithvi cosmic day, or Earth, four round. And in the sixth and in the seventh, the ether will be more visible in order to prepare the entrance into the next cosmic day, where the seven main elements will act in the ethereal way. And this is something that you have to grasp, because in this very moment, in this four round, in this three-dimensional world, all the seven elements are acting in the Prithvi way, or in the material way. With this, we have to state that the word crystallizes in different dimensions, in different ways. The elements that we know in this day and age were not as they were in the previous cosmic day. Because there, here, for instance, science studies all the elements. And they know, as we say, that the water is a compound of hydrogen and oxygen. But when we talk about water itself as element, we are not talking about the compound element which crystallizes in this three-dimensional world. We are talking as the water itself, as a vibration of the word, which is called Tattva Apas. And when we talk about the Tattva Prithvi, obviously the Tattva Prithvi is commanding all the elements in this three-dimensional world. What the scientists examine in this day and age is the Tattva Prithvi, which, of course, all the tattvas manifest in that tattva physically. That's why they can investigate, for instance, the air. And we say that the air in this Prithvi state is made of nitrogen and oxygen. They can investigate that, and many other gases. But these are elements which are crystallized in this three-dimensional world. Doesn't mean that in the fourth dimension or in the fifth, in the sixth, the air has the same elements. No, it are different because they are crystallized in different levels. The water, for instance, here in this three-dimensional world is hydrogen and oxygen. This is how it is manifest. But the water itself, as tattva apas, is different. It's a vibration that can crystallize in the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, and other dimensions with other elements. And that's why when we investigate this three-dimensional world, materialistic world, we discover that Earth, which is tattva prithvi, is compound by multiple elements. The Earth is, you know, is made of about the science in this day and age discovered like 100 and something elements, or maybe more. I'm not sure, but you find a lot of elements. The true human being on this present foreground is composed of all the great elements: fire, air, water, earth, and ether. Behold the Sphinx. The ether in itself will be that stuff that is between the paws of the Sphinx. That's why the Sphinx is a great symbol of the forces of nature. The elementals which belong respectively to these elements obey the true human being by reason of their coessence. Because a true human being is an individual that self-realizes these elements. The earth itself is a physical body. The vital body is the water itself. Then the fire is the tejas tattva. The air is a mental body, and the causal body becomes, of course, the ether, which is directly related with this chakra Vishuddha. Because in order to create those elements, we utilize the vibration of the word, because God creates. That's why we say that the whole Genesis, or creation of the true human being, is made by the word. But since we are in this three-dimensional world, we need the energy of this three-dimensional world in order to come from the bottom, by the action of yesod, the sexual organs, in combination with the throat. That's why in sexual magic, we pronounce different mantras. And the main one is E-A-O, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which vibrate in our bodies, which are related with the creation. First logos, second logos, third logos. Of course, you find many mantras, words, secret, powerful words that put in activity your sexual energy. Or we will say it in other words, the liquid akasa. You see that? Because we have the liquid akasa in the sexual organs, which is called semen, the entity of semen, the ens seminis, which is activated by the word. That's why the necessity of pronouncing the mantras when we are in sexual connection. Because through the throat, the logos acts, the word, the father. It's not only that, we have it being concentration. But that concentration and visualization is related with the chakra agna, which I am not going to talk because it is another lecture that is coming. So in the world of creation, Briya, the word is born from the one substance in nature, the akasa, and the root of it is the fohat. The seven tattvas or vibrations of that primordial substance are the garment, the veil of the fohat. The human being, whether physically, psychologically, mentally, or spiritually speaking, comes directly from the essence, from that fire of that akasa that we have in our sexual organs, that is put in activity with the word, with the mantras. Four elements only are generally spoken of in relation with the planet and the terrestrial men. For the akasa tattva, the body of the ether, that akasa that vibrates in the throat, is not fully manifested in this three-dimensional dimension and in the human being yet. Because the essence must be liberated from the mind. Because this omnipotent creator, Fohat, which abides within the ether, within the akasa tattva, within the word, creates when in combination with the two tattvas. The tattva that vibrates in the word, which is the akasa tattva in the word, and the fire that is in the akasa liquid in the sexual organs. So the Fohat, through akasa, vibrates in the four elements, and is that which composes and decomposes the compound bodies. The crystallization of its tattvas forms the compound bodies that contain numberless sub-elements that now, as I said, we are being studied in chemistry and physics. So as you see, that the upper Eden, the pure akasa, is a primordial matter from within which the logos, the Fohat that manifests in matter, emerges. So, this logos, this word that acts, creating the true human being, is the one that incarnates in the true human being. If this human being takes the path of renunciation, because the whole development, as you see, the whole development of this word is an activity of the same word, of the same logos. That's why that mysterious incarnation of the logos always happens in that. And this is something that the Gnostics must comprehend and understand, because it is related with the whole work. Remember that it is written that from that, from the throat, emerges that double-edged sword, protrudes from the mouth of the logos, because the logos itself is that sword, which means that has the whole knowledge of the whole work that we had to perform. And because that word is that Fohat, that vibration that is hidden within all of matter, whether in this three-dimensional world or in other dimensions, he's capable of transforming the intellectual animal into a human being, and that human being into a superhuman being. Well, we said into a Superman. But for that, we have to comprehend and understand how the logos, the word, the throat, works with the sexual energy. That's why the Master Samael explains that the whole work
It's with the sexual energy. If we want to walk in the path, we have to work with the sexual energy and with the mantras, with the word. The word crystallizes not only within one man, but many that follow the path of renunciation or the direct path. Of course, this type of individuals give the message, give the knowledge. That's why we state always, the Bible is the word of God. People answer, well, God didn't write it. But they ignore that God is the word itself, hidden within that knowledge. And when we say that it is the word of God, is because it's related with that development of that word within a human being. That's why those beings or bodhisattvas that acquire that development in themselves of the word, deliver the word, deliver the knowledge. And that's why it is written, the Master Samael on Beor always repeats that phrase many times. Whosoever knows, the word gives power to. You see, whosoever knows is the art there, is the knowledge. Whosoever applies that knowledge of the art, the word itself, gives power to. That word is Christ. But no one uttered it. No one will utter it except the one that has the word incarnated. And that's a process. The word incarnates in different levels. And this is how the chakra of the throat acquires the power of understanding the word. Because here is the power of God that writes the word, that teaches the word, and that comprehends what is written in the word or in the knowledge. And that's why all the great scriptures, whether they are the scriptures of Moses, the prophets, Jesus in the Pistis Sophia, Muhammad in the Quran, or the writings of Buddha, and many other writers or great initiates, are written in that way. Because the word is always hidden. And we have to liberate it. What does, as he said, why do these masters rot in a mysterious way? Why they didn't clarify everything? Because the word is always hidden. The mystery of God, we have to discover it inside of us. The word is what makes us alive in this physical world. It's vibrating. The tattvas are vibrating in the vital body. That's why we said that everything comes from the ether and other returns into the ether, because the ether is the akasa tattva. And of course, the mystery of all of this knowledge is given by Samael. With which say, Samael is the fifth of the seven. And if you count the chakras from the bottom to the top, the fifth is this one that we are talking here, which is Gnosis, that. And that's why Samael gives the synthesis, or Samael explains the other four. Because the meaning of that is in the throat. Do you understand that? Do you follow that? Vishuddha is called the magic ear. That magic ear has the power to listen, to comprehend, to understand the word of God. Always, this is a phrase that says, God works in mysterious way. We will say, God speaks in mysterious ways. Mysterious for the mind, for the protoplasmic mind. But not for the magic ear, not for the chakra Vishuddha, or the Church of Sardis. Because there we have that element, so that angel that you know, according to the other lecture that we gave on energy, we said that is Philip. Philip that understands and comprehends the meaning of the word inside of us. And when we read any book, but that power comes from the innermost and has different levels, degrees of development. Every initiate has his own understanding of the word according to his own initiation, degrees, etc. But the great meaning of it comes when that initiate reaches the throat, meaning when reaches the at, meaning when enters into the sixth dimension, into the world of the gods, into his own monad, or the lower part of that monad, which is called superior manas, or the human soul. Tifereth. The abstract mind, which everything is abstract, but it's a meaning there. So this Tifereth, this son of man, is the one that comprehends the word. Why? Because the word, the second logos, descends through the third logos into the primordial substance, akasa, in that, which is, in this case, the individual particular akasa that rose from yesod to that. And only to rise that energy of the akasa, which is the primordial substance of the mother, which is kundalini, in order to reach the throat, that we have to reach the fifth initiation. That's the whole journey from yesod to that. So when we reach in that, the fifth initiation, we are having the worry of akasa. That's sattva that unites with the body of chokhmah, that descended through the third logos into the womb of Akasa, the Divine Mother. But that Akasa is there in that because we place it there. You see, the Divine Mother, of course, every one of us has his own or her own Divine Mother. But we have to develop that essence into us. That's called the Kundalini. Kundalini has to rise in Prithvi, has to rise in Apas, has to rise in Tejas, has to rise in Vayu, and finally rises in Akasa, meaning physical, vital, astral, mental, and causal body. So in that Akasa, that causal body, the Divine Mother is already risen in the human soul, her own son, her own Tiferet. And then that Akasa is ready for the descension of the second logos, which belongs, of course, to the seven rays of the Epta, Para, Parshi, Nak, because another development is coming of that word in that bodhisattva that renounces nirvana. And what is nirvana? Nirvana is there in the sixth dimension, in that world of Briya, of creation. And this is how Chokhmah, the second logos, enters into that Akasa, which is the particular individual divine mother that rose from the physical body to the human soul. And then the logos enter there and unites in Akasa. He's being born in Akasa. We will say this, remember the Spanish language. Akasa becomes su casa. Just to put a little bit of emotion there, you know, because you are just like with the open eyes listening. But the emotional center also has to be in activity. And from that casa or akasa descends as a child into the body of that human soul in order to develop, to grow. And this is how it is written, the word becomes flesh. This is what happened with the Master Jesus. And that what's happened with the Master Samael on Veor, the 27th of October of 1954. Everybody was talking about that in different forums, about the anniversary of the advent of Samael. Well, Samael incarnated in Samael on Veor in 1954. In the flesh of his own bodhisattva. And that's why he had the mission of explain the four gospels, explain the whole doctrine, the whole knowledge, the whole gnosis. Because Samael is the fifth. And of course, he transformed himself into a child and entered into Samael on the Or in 1954 and developed. Grew up, Master Samael on Veor, under that guidance, destroyed all of his ego. And then Samael was completely alive within him in 1977. Was a whole self there, the whole fire. Of course, this is what we call the incarnation of the Logos. But in this case, of course, Samael itself is the fifth Logos. Or the fifth Veor. Because there are seven Veors. Or seven Logos. Seven Logoi. Seven spirits before the throne of God. The Word. And this is how the Word incarnated in him. And this is how the word can incarnate in each one of us. In the beginning, that word manifests in different initiations. But the incarnation of the word as a Venustic initiation is a great event only for those that follow the direct path. But Chokhmah, the word, knows very well all of the initiates, because that word abides within all initiates. So nobody can cheat the word. Do you understand that? Because the word itself is the foundation of matter and the foundation of creation of any internal body, of any individual. And Samael is the fifth logos, which is in charge of this fifth root race called Aryan race. He knows very well each one of us. Because the Logos, through the Tatuas, expresses us in nature. A Logos is an element, an individual, that is everywhere, has the power of ubiquity. That's why it is written that the Logos knows very well each one of us. Knows the heart, they said, of every human being. And this is something that we have to comprehend and understand, because the Logos itself, any Logos of the seven, has in itself the other six. But it acts according to its own force. In this case, we will state Samael, the fifth, acts in a Scorpio. You know, we are in the sign of a Scorpio right now, which rules the sexual organs. So it vibrates in the sexual organs of everybody, because he's a king of fire. He's a fire itself. Is that why every Logos is dual? Because he's fire. He helps the evolution of the monad, the essence, the evolution of plants, minerals, etc., but also acts as the evolving force when the individual degenerates. And then that fire burns, disintegrates the matter. But never is, we will say, adulterated. That's why the fire is the only element that cannot be tested, cannot be examined in laboratory. They don't know what the fire is. And that's why the Bible says that the fire is God, or God is fire, for hot. So with this, what I'm telling you is that Master Samael, I'm talking here about the Logos itself, the fifth of the seven spirits in this solar system. Samael, the Logos, the spirit of fire, knows every single Gnostic, because it vibrates there. This is how a Logos can help anybody. But his help as a helper or as a savior comes in different levels. The level in which we are explaining here is in the throat, where we incarnate that spirit. When that spirit, Samael, enters. And this is something that we have to analyze and comprehend this, because if you see the story of all the great masters that incarnated the Word, they said that they will come back. In Mexico, for instance, they were waiting for the second coming of Quetzalcoatl, which was an incarnation of the Logos. But people, of course, at that time misunderstood the meaning of the second coming. And they were thinking that Quetzalcoatl was that Spaniard called Hernan Cortes, because he was blonde, as Quetzalcoatl was, according to the legends. But Samael, or the Logos, Christ, the cosmic Christ, always promised to return. But he can return in any bodhisattva. That follows the path of renunciation. Because the Logos is not submitted or encaged in this particular box. It's how the power of creation, the Word, in that. And that's why the Logos says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. There in the website, we put the letter Alpha together with the letter Aleph in order to show that is that are equal. The shape, different. But each one of these letters have three lines. The two lines that merged, forming like a pyramid, united by one transversal or horizontal line in the middle, is Aleph, which is Alpha, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Alpha, the Word that is in the beginning. And Aleph also has that. One line united with two small lines. That's why Aleph symbolizes the wind. And of course, we find here how in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In that. Because God creates with the power of the Word. But when he descends into Yesod, as right now, for instance, in our sexual organs, God creates, sexually speaking, through the sexual organs. And that's the letter Omega, which if you see the letter Omega, the shape, with the letter Tav, which is the N also of the Hebrew alphabet, you find an opening in the very bottom. Because from the Omega, whether we go up or down into the infra dimensions, depends how we use the sexual energy. So the final journey of that ray of creation that emerges in the tree of life reaches the ninth sphere. And you know that the ninth sphere is the sexual organs. Even though, if you see that at the bottom of the tree of life, you find Malkuth. But if you follow that Malkuth, then you find Klipoth with the nine spheres. And the ninth sphere is Yesod, related with the sexual forces. It says that Milarepa always sang his teachings, and is shown with the hand in the ear, or to the ear, which means the occult ear, showing that we have to learn how to listen, right? The chakra Vishuddha. So that hand symbolizes the chakra Vishuddha that we should put there in the ear to understand, to comprehend. That's why the Master Samael says, when you read a book, meditate. Because the understanding of the Word of God comes in meditation. Because Word, God speaks, you know, when we are meditating, when we open our internal worlds. The Word of God is not going to be understood intellectually. We give the intellectual interpretation of what we acquire with our comprehension, meditation, analysis. If we're trying to explain this intellectually, which is very difficult. But you get it there, you listen again and again until you get the meaning of this. Of course, as I'm saying, the Word of God crystallizes and knows. All the Gnostics, for instance, in this day and age, they dream. With reaching the fifth initiation, and learning to follow the direct path. Because the teachings of the Master Samael are the teachings for the direct path. But Samael knows very well all of his disciples. It's coming into my mind this very moment, something we will say funny. But not funny, but he said that. I know, he says, that many of my disciples, when reaching the fifth initiation, will enter into the spiral path. I'm sorry, they want to follow the spiral path, they can go, but I am a walker of the direct path. And to all of those who follow the spiral, we had to tell them goodbye. But he didn't say that in Spanish. You know, he was saying the whole thing in Spanish. And the only thing that he said in English was goodbye, meaning those who want to sacrifice for humanity needs to learn at least English in order to enter into other countries to help. And goodbye. We don't have to identify with any language. English is the language that is spoken in different countries. And from that, you can come into understand other languages. Thank goodness, Master Samael, which is the owner, or the one that unveiled all this knowledge, is giving us the opportunity to deliver this knowledge through the internet. It's not because we are super wise. No, it is because the Logos is giving us the opportunity in order to teach. And that opportunity is given to those that follow the right path, not the direct path. The direct path, of course, is a goal. When you reach that, but in this case, when I say the right path, meaning that you want to utilize the internet for the help of the souls, to help the souls. Because you find in this day and age a lot of students, pseudo-Gnostics, that utilize the internet, the word of God, in order to slander, in order to criticize the neighbor, in order to say that this master is fallen, that this is a black magician, that this is this and this and that. To explain the knowledge is the main thing, and to show the dangers. But to go into the particular life of somebody and to say this person is doing this and that, we don't have no business with that. The business that we have as Gnostic is to explain the doctrine, not to criticize the private life of anybody. And this is something that we have to learn when we deal with the throat. Because the hearing of the meaning of the word is hidden for the Pharisees. Those Pharisees that think that they own Gnosis. Those Pharisees that think that we have to follow their rules in order to conquer. There are certain groups of pseudo-Gnostics that state that if we want to walk on the path, we have to follow them. Of course, that this is incongruent. Because the only one that we have to follow is the inner Christ, the Word. And for that, we have to awake. All of us here in this physical world are demons that wants to become angels. Why we state that we are demons? Because we have the ego alive. The red demons of Seth, as the Egyptian says. So the red demons are all the ego. In synthesis, all of us are demons. Repented demons, yes. But it's funny sometimes to hear or to read in the internet or to hear from Gnostics that such and such man is a black magician. And then I said, hear this person, a demon, accusing another demon of being a demon. This is really funny. Instead of accusing or seeing the splinter in the eye of anybody, just take care of the trunk or the big ego that we have inside and teach the real doctrine. And of course, we have to stop boasting of ourselves because there's a lot of boasting there. Oh, I am this, I am that. We are nothing. The Logos is the Logos. That's why we had to die. That's the doctrine of the Master Samael brought the doctrine of the many, that we had to die. The Buddhist annihilation. Only those that are resurrected, we will say, are holy. Before that, even if we reach the fifth initiation, we are not holy. Because with the ego alive, why we have to boast of being holy? God is holy. But we are not. And many Gnostics there are trying to, or are following personalities. That's ludicrous. It's true. We have to have an organization here. And there are many groups that have organizations in order to spread the knowledge. But we don't have to say, for instance, what about if I start saying, oh, if you had to go really in the right path, you have to go and become a Telema member. That will be really stupid. We're trying to deliver the knowledge here that we are comprehending and that thanks to God and to Samael, He's given us. But we have to follow our own particular individual God. And that is the main thing. That is in relation with the throat, with the way that we spread the doctrine. And everybody spread the doctrine in his own or her own level of being. So, I have something here that I wrote during my meditations and comprehension, but maybe I will place it in the internet, because to read it, I'm seeing it that it's very profound, related with what we're talking here. But maybe you won't understand. I'm trying to make more basic what is from above into this world. And it's not easy. Because we are trying here to explain the Word of God, or God itself, which vibrates in the very bottom of any matter. Which is beautiful. For instance, the earth is called earth because we are in the fourth round, which is related with Talwa Prithvi. That's beautiful to understand now. Earth is the Talwa of Prithvi, is the Talwa of the earth.
Right, but why are you saying it's called earth?
It's called earth because of the Talwa Prithvi.
Why?
Because in the previous three rounds.
No. My question is, you're saying, have you ever thought of why it's called earth? E-A-R-T-H.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Why is it? You're saying because it's related to Prithvi, but why earth, the word earth?
The question is, why exactly the word earth, right? So technically speaking, the planet earth is called earth, the word earth, because earth is a four element. When we talk about elements, esoterically speaking, we talk about the seven tattvas, which means elements or vibrations within which the fohat, the fire, God, is hidden. You have to understand that. It's like, for instance, when you see the rainbow, you see seven colors there of the rainbow. The light is hidden within each of those seven colors. So the rainbow is only the garb, the vesture of that light, which you see as a rainbow. In the same way, if you apply this similitude, you find the seven tattvas, or the seven elements. When they said elements, I'm not talking about material elements. We're talking about the seven tattvas or vibrations of the word that eventually, with the action of the fire, crystallize as matter. So when we see here, for instance, any type of matter, compound or simple element, is nothing but the crystallization of the fire through the tattvas. Those tattvas are tattva of the air, vayu; tattva of the fire, tejas; tattva of the water, apas; tattva of the earth, prithvi. So you see, the fourth one is Prithvi. And that's why, esoterically, we said we are in the fourth round. Meaning, in the fourth manifestation of those vibrations of the word, which is Prithvi, earth. So meaning, that in the first cosmic days or round, matter was manifested through Vayu.
So were the names something different?
The elements were different.
So was the name of Earth different?
Well, at that time, if you discover the people at that time, who knows how they called their planet? I don't know how they call it. But the thing is that we are explaining why the Earth is called Earth. And it is because the actual present planet in this three-dimensional world is a crystallization of the seven tattvas within the tattva prithvi, which is the tattva of the earth.
But what I'm saying is earth called earth to like other?
Well, if you want to call, no, we call it earth. And science, religion, and philosophy repeat the same word, planet earth, call it the people from the earth, earthlings, right? Because everybody thinks that the real human being is physical. But a real human being, as physical as we are right now, appear only in this round. If you go into the previous round, or cosmic day, which was the crystallization of apas, the tattva apas, meaning that all the seven tattvas were crystallizing in elements within the tattva apas. And that's where, that's called the lunar round. So obviously, the elements of that time were not as we know them now. So if you think that the planet Earth, as it is right now with all the elements, as we know it right now, were like that in previous cosmic rounds, we are mistaken. They manifest in other ways, because the world crystallizes in different ways. For instance, the future root race, I mean, not root race, but the future round or cosmic day that is approaching is not going to be like this. Because we are in the lower realm, the physical, prithvi. The second one is ether, or the next one, which is the fifth round. So this planet, which is called Earth, maybe we baptize it with the ethereal planet. All the elements that we know here will crystallize, but in the ethereal level, in the ethereal world, in the fourth dimension. So this means that in the space you find different planets that are vibrating in different tattvas and whose humanity is having different type of bodies. And this is something that you understand and comprehend when you understand the seven tattvas, which are vibrations of the word. Do you get it?
Yeah, but wouldn't this... So isn't there a real name for this planet, like the real word? Because when in the beginning was the word and the word was God. So when he created this earth, wouldn't this earth have a specific name and all planets have a real name?
Yeah, of course.
Do we know what that
the planet name itself is? As a crystallization of the logos might have a name. And for instance, it is written that the Martians call this planet Doge. Or, yeah, Doge. And the planet Mars Loge, according to their language. So, I mean, in the other planets, other humanities call this planet another name. But because the great initiates of the past were explaining how this planet crystallized in this fourth round, they call it Earth. And Kabbalistically, as I said, it's explained when you see that Kabbalist says that only three elements are symbolized in their Kabbalah. Shin is fire, Mem is water, and Aleph is air. So what is Earth? And I said Earth is Adam, because Adam is a crystallization of these three elements. Adam itself is the earth. That's why Adam means red earth or something like that in Hebrew. And the whole planet, of course, is earth, is prithvi. So the whole vibration that you see, for instance, right now, you see how the air vibrates, and you see the air, and you can study the air. As I said, the scientists said that it's nitrogen and oxygen. In relation with this fourth round in prithvi. But in the previous round, the air was maybe only nitrogen. Fire was only akasa. And water was that primordial liquid within which, according to Moses, Fohat was floating in the beginning of this cosmic day. This is how we have to understand and comprehend Genesis. Otherwise, we fall into many mistakes. This is precisely the mistake of the scientists of this day and age, that they think that the universe is only three-dimensional. The universe is heptadimensional. There are seven cosmoses, and in every cosmos there are different matters, which are the crystallization of the logos, of the word, through the tattvas. You see that in that, Dharakasa crystallizes in the seven tattvas. But here, in this physical world, we said, for instance, that this physical world emerged from the fourth dimension. And we said that that fourth dimension is, Kabbalistically, apas. But also alchemically is akasa, liquid akasa, which is called water. That's why Genesis says that from the waters, the Fohat was floating. And God created the earth from the water. Let the dry land, Prithvi, appear from the water. That water, of course, it says water and water because the previous cosmic day, the tattva that was ruling that was apas. And within that apas, all the seven tattvas were vibrating or crystallized in different forces, different elements. Not like in this Prithvi epoch, but like in the apas way. And likewise, when you go, for instance, into the Saturnian epoch, which was the first cosmic day of first manifestation of life in the mental plane, you find that the word, the Fohat, was crystallizing all the elements within the element Vayu, which is in relation with the mind. And then you find, for instance, how those individuals have, the master says, physical bodies. Physical from the point of Prithvi, but not physical from the point of we right now. We are physical right now, but from the point of Prithvi. They were physical from the point of Vayu. You understand that? You get that vibration? Do you follow me? Ask questions because these need to be comprehended, yeah?
Is there, in your lecture that you've given here, is there any relation between the chakra of the Shuvah or the Church of Sardis with Earth, physically speaking?
Yes.
What is that? I missed that part.
The chakra of Vishuddha with the Earth means that the Logos crystallizes with the Word. The Word crystallizes in this physical world by utilizing Yesod, which is a liquid Akasa. You see, because if you study the lecture that we gave on energy, there we explain how the tattvas finally arrive at the sex, right? And that is our own akasa. We explain there how the seven tattvas, or the panka tattva in this case, because we are now in this fourth round. And from the seven tattvas, only five are visible. You see the air, you see the fire, you see the water, you see the earth, the four elements, crystallized in many elements, sub-elements. The ether is like a blue substance seen from afar on the top of the mountains. And that element will be more visible, that fifth element, in the previous sixth root rays and seventh, will be more and more visible. I mean, in the next, I'm sorry, I said previous, in the next root races, that fifth element called ether will be more and more manifest in order to be the base for the future round or cosmic day that comes that will be ethereal, where all the elements that we know here right now will be ethereal, will not physical, but ethereal. The Vishuddha, or clairaudient power, is related with all the seven tattvas.
So it's not particularly more related.
But more particular to Akasa, because Akasa is the origin of all of them. And that's why we are explaining here. For instance, your own particular body has the chakra of the throat, or the plexus of the throat, which is that particular energy that enters into your physical body and is the church of Sardis, or chakra Vishuddha. And also in the vital body. and also in the astral body, and the mental body, and the causal body, beauty body, and all the bodies. That chakra vibrates. And that's why we have to understand and comprehend that in each level, the chakra vibrates in different frequencies, and that we understand that. That's why when you comprehend the word in the beginning, for instance, when you start learning Gnosis, and you have no fire at all in your throat because you were missing that energy, or you were using the word in the wrong way. Because when you use the word in the wrong way, you, how you call, distorts the whole vibration of that chakra. And this is what happened in this day and age. People just use the word in a very wrong way. But when you start controlling your word, what you say, what you think, etc., and then you start understanding the doctrine in your own level. But as you advance into the vital body, or second initiation, third initiation, fourth initiation, fifth initiation, obviously that chakra gives you more knowledge and more knowledge because it is the word. And if you incarnate the word, if you follow the path of renunciation, that word will give you more and more understanding because you need that in order to self-realize yourself. That's why it is written, not only, remember that, not only from breath alone lives the Son of Man. Meaning, not only through meditation, but from the word that comes from the mouth of God. And that meaning comes from the chakra Vishuddha. And each one of us develops that chakra Vishuddha in different levels. That's why I'm telling you, different levels. It depends which initiation you are, which degree you have. And that's why it is good to listen or to read the book of the Master. Because he is directly related with the chakra Vishuddha, with that double sharp sword. His inner being, Samael, is a ruler of that Gnosis, or that, because he gives the synthesis. So if we associate with Samael in different initiations, and if we, or if our inner being follows the direct path, Samael will come and give you more understanding in order for you to self-realize. And this is something now that is coming into my mind that I have to say, because everything that comes into your mind is coming from above. Master Samael says in his Pisti Sophia, I promise you that I will unveil the rest of the Pisti Sophia at the half of the time. Meaning that he has to come into you. Because it will be worthless if the Master will unveil the whole Pisti Sophia, the whole Bhagavad Gita, the whole Quran, and all the books of the world, if he doesn't develop that within you. So the meaning is that he promised. That says we, says Samael Onveor, we. When he says we, means that he, the Logos, is many. Because in Pisces Sophia, he explains that after the seven Logoi, or seven spirits of God, you find the 12 Logos of the solar system. 12 saviors. And each one of them has the same power to envelop and to develop that within you and to make of you a cosmos man with objective reasoning.
Question.
Other question.
This just might be totally intellectualizing the word, but as you were talking, I was relating how the ear and to hear with Vishuddha, right, using the clairaudient center. And we're in the fourth round. That's why I was asking if there was any relation. Could that word be a combination of the ability to hear with it being the fourth round, making the word earth? That's why I was asking if there was a specific relation, correlation with Vishuddha and the earth.
Hear.
Right, hearth as well.
Yeah, hearth.
Exactly,
yeah.
Earth.
And hearth, whatever. Yeah. If you, well, let me tell you, if you associate all the words, the meaning of the words, all of them have the same root. And the root are in the Logos. Because the Logos is the root of everything. So that's why it says that when we reach certain level, The Logos itself can give us the gift of speaking all the languages. That gift is given, for instance, to the master Saint Germain, which is a resurrected master, that between quotations, that master doesn't need to enter into any channeler, into any medium, in order to give his knowledge, because he has an immortal body. He has his own vehicle in order to teach. So this Saint Germain speaks all the languages of the world. Why? Because the Logos that incarnated in him gave him that gift. I mean, it's a gift of the power of tongues. So the power of tongues is that. You know, the power of tongue is not epileptic attacks that many people think.
But so this would be something that would be perhaps possible through the word.
Yes, everything is possible with the word. But always remember that also we have that ego inside, which is the crystallization of our fornication, and that can play with the word.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering how much of that is playing with it and how much is real. That's why I was asking if there was a real name for this planet as well. Another question I have relating to the word is this. Is there anything that when you have a word, for example, Samael Aumbeor, right? Within that word are many words. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you just move around the letters and this and that, right? You have other words within that word. Is there any meaning to that, or is it the specific order of the letters that make up the word? For example, because I just was sitting here and looking at that word, and within Samael Aumbeor, for example, alone, you can see there's the word Mars and wars, and there's like specific words within that word. Is that something, or again, is that a game of the intellect, or is that is there a reason that there are words within words?
Samael itself is the god of war. It's called Mars and Ares, or Ares, yeah.
Right, and all those words can be found within his name. That's what I'm saying. So is there...
Of course, as we said, that Samael vibrates in any type of matter because he's the fifth logos of the Epta para Parshinok. Obviously, people utilize the negative aspect of his vibration.
No, but are there words within words, and does that matter? That's my question.
The seven meanings of any sacred words are known only by its owner. But also you can find the meaning of that because Samael Aumbeor in Hebrew means strength and light, Aumbeor. But Sam is also called a bitter beverage of God. Meaning that when we explain the doctrine, it's very bitter for us. Because then we see the reality of our psychology. And that's why it says Samael is the one that gives the knowledge. And if you find the Zohar, how Samael gives the knowledge through the tree of good and knowledge, or good and evil, I mean, tree of knowledge, to Adam and Eve. And all that has a meaning. That the ignoramuses are interpreted in a wrong way. Because, of course, Samael is a poison for the ego, because that's the fire that annihilates the ego. Samael, the fire, the spirit of fire, only loves that the Logos, God, and the crystallizations of the ego, Samael destroyed them with his doctrine, the doctrine of the many.
Okay, can you look at this? Because I don't think you answered my question.
I know what you mean with words and the or, etc.
Right, like within
there is a science to that, but it's really only possible to find it through meditation, not the intellect.
That's what I'm asking, because I want to know if within the word, or is the order of the letters is the only thing that matters?
There is a science to that, which the name I don't remember, but yeah.
It's a science,
like,
yeah.
Even within that, there's so much right there.
The intellect can take that and pervert it easily.
Exactly, well that's my question. Is there a real, you know,
That's why I said sometimes I don't like to talk about that because we have an ego. And the ego plays with that and creates other things. You know what I mean?
Like
the best thing is to comprehend.
Arcano. People in Spanish
Yeah.
Which I don't want to say what it is.
Yeah,
We have to be careful when we walk in this path. We have to be careful with the word. But for instance, we meditate and comprehend the word. But we don't have to follow, of course, the meaning of certain intellectual Kabbalists that gives to the name different things, and it's just a waste of time. The best way is to meditate in it and to find how that Samael or that Akasa Tattva is in relation with our own particular psychology, with our own particular mind and spirit. Because it's precisely an infinite things there hidden within the word.
Like, I was just amazed with the name Averamento, Master Averamento, like the words that are within that name. It was amazing. It's like Amen, Om, Omen, Ra, Aom, Ave. It's like all these words that we use around him are within that same word.
Yeah, his holy name, Averamento, really, the sacred name of Jesus. To those that doesn't know this, Averamento is the sacred name of Jesus of Nazareth. And yeah, of course, every sacred name has meanings, many meanings, esoteric meanings, that we had to learn through meditation. You have any other questions?
If one belongs to the ray of Mars and incarnates the Logos, does that mean they incarnate Samael? Don't we have our own particular Keter, Chokmah, and Binah?
Only the Logos, a cosmo creator, has the power to incarnate as Christ within any bodhisattva that belongs to his own particular ray. Yes, we have our own Keter, Chokmah, Binah, but they are not self-realized. When you have your own Keter, Chokmah, Binah self-realized, you are a Logos. And then in that Keter, Chokmah, Binah, which is precisely the word Aleph, expressed as Samael in different directions. So we, as monads, we connect to that particular cosmic creator through our three primary forces. It's like when you take, for instance, any electrical plug, and there is always three. The earth, or the ground, as you call it, and the other connection that take the two positive and negative forces. You connect the three, and you receive the energy. In this way, those three are our own particular individuals, Keter, Chokmah, Binah, which are connected to that ray, and then we receive the energy of Samael, if we belong to that ray. But within that Samael are also the other seven, like the rainbow, remember? Another question?
What virtues or difficulties are related with this particular chakra?
Well, if you want to know really how to develop this chakra very well, read the epistle or the letter of James in the Good Testament. There you will find all the rules, the New Testament, right? Letter of James, the Apostle James. That's a beautiful explanation for you in order to use your word, in order to develop your chakra Vishuddha in the right way. Another question? What is your question here?
I was wondering if you said that the previous rounds correspond to letters Shin, Mem and Aleph. In Hebrew, that spells the word Shema, which means to hear or listen. I was wondering if that has any correlation to what we're talking about.
Shema, of course, because in this case, letter Shin also symbolizes Fohat. And Fohat is the one that gives that power, and all the powers, to hear the sound of the fire. It reminds me, for instance, this event that happens to Elijah, when hearing an earthquake, and after that he was hearing a wind. Before the wind, he says the sound of the wind, like a very subtle sound. And that sound is precisely the voice of the silence that you can hear, which is the sound of the fire, of Shin. And if you see, for instance, how this letter Shin also is made with three wicks, which symbolize the three primary forces again as fire. Because Shin is the hot, while in the letter Aleph is like wind, the spirit. While in the letter Mem, well, are working also there, but more as how you call substance, liquid substance, water. The mantra that you can, well, this is a mantra that Master gives in one of his books in order to put in activity the chakra Vishuddha, which is Aum Hivatum E. It's written Aum Shivatum E. But the CH always sounds right? Aum Hivatum E. If you see how, because that sound vibrates in the throat, Hivatum E. And of course, through that chakra, you put in activity, your magic ear, and then you Kabbalah, you Kabel, you receive the knowledge of God, because that's the chakra that listens, that comprehends the word of God. That's why the other speaker said in other lecture, the book of Revelation was written by initiates, I mean from initiates for initiates. Only those that are developing the chakra, that's why I said, those who have the chakra Vishuddha developed, understand. The common current, ordinary people do not understand that because they don't have the chakra Vishuddha in activity. They read the book of Revelation and they say, wait, what is this? They don't understand because the chakra Vishuddha is not active. And this is precisely one of the main things here. If you want to understand Gnosis, the books of the Master, deeply, the Bible, in any sacred book, vocalize. Just the vowel E is enough. E. Feeling the vibration in the throat. And that would give you a lot of comprehension of the word. And of course, different invocations, conjurations, mantras, prayings are related with the throat. That's why the word is sacred. That's why the Master gave a lot of mantras. Because when you pronounce it with your throat. So the chakra Vishuddha is in activity. Remember that all the powers of the chakra Vishuddha also are in combination with the other chakras. So the chakra Vishuddha by itself is not enough. That's why we have to develop all the seven. The Epta Para Parshinak, all the seven churches. But we have to study in depth each one of them. Any other question? So thank you very much. And the next lecture will be Ajna Chakra, the clairvoyant chakra.